What a luxury it must be to be vapid. I'm serious. What a luxury it must be not to know what's going on. Just to be completely void of any type of thought pattern whatsoever. Socially. Must be fantastic. Can you imagine that? Nothing bothers you because you don't know what the hell's going on. You can't care because you can't comprehend it. It's like what's going on in the country today. I meet a lot of people. Oh, Ron, what's going on? You always do news stuff. What's going on? You have no idea? No, we don't. And you seem so happy. You seem so unaffected and carefree because you don't know what the hell's going on. What a freedom that must be. Wow.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm not kidding. It is. It really is.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Well, welcome to the program. Make yourself comfortable. Can I get you a sandwich? Well, I don't have any. Can I get you a beverage? All right. Anyway, point is, just make yourself comfortable. Hey, we're only a few days away from Labor Day. Ooh. Now, either this is a holiday that honors people that work by not having them work, or it's about women who are pregnant and are in labor. And I don't know which one it is, to be honest with you. I think it's probably both. If you're a woman about to give birth and are in labor and you also have a job, this holiday is for you especially. I never quite understood labor. I think Labor Day should be the day when everybody works. That's what makes sense. We honor the people that work hard and are the backbone of this country through their labor and intense dedication to hard work ethics. We celebrate this by not working.
What? What?
We also celebrate it by eating hot dogs. It's weird that every summer holiday, the bottom line is a hot dog. And every winter holiday, the bottom line is turkey. I can't figure us out at all. I don't know who started this human race thing, but I don't know, man. Your rules are strange. Very strange. Goes all the way back to Columbus. You know what? Columbus didn't discover America. There were people here first walking around. There were even a couple of Walmarts. Columbus didn't discover anything. I think the first place he landed, honestly, from what I understand, is Provincetown on the Cape off of Massachusetts. And I think he landed there and got off the boat and saw all these strange shops and people walking around, and Columbus said, "Hey, I'm getting out of here. I don't want to discover this. This should not be discovered." So he sailed a little bit further, and he hit Plymouth. And he said, hey, there's a rock over there. Why don't we tie the boat to the rock? And again, he didn't discover there were people here already. There were Indians and other people. And there was a couple of college kids from France. I mean, there were people here already, Columbo. You and your three ships, you think you're big stuff. You didn't discover anything. It's like me maybe going to the Jersey Shore to Atlantic City and getting out of the car and saying, I hereby discover Atlantic City. No, it's already been there. There's been stuff happening. People have lives here already. You think you're so pompous as soon as you see it, therefore you've discovered it and you're going to stick a flag in it? Come on. We actually went to the moon back in the 60s and we stuck a flag in the moon. I'm discovering the moon. I said, well, we knew it was there. Yes, but I'm sticking a flag in it. I claim this moon. What are you doing? What are you stop? Just stop it. Just stop claiming moons, will you? I mean, our entire intellect is based on if we stick a flag in it or not. Come on. Grow up. Get a life. Be vapid. What a luxury it is to be stupid, I'm telling you. I meet a lot of stupid people all day. It's what I do. And as I'm talking to them, trying to understand their stupidity, and it's not the inability for them to learn. It really isn't. It's not because they have learning disabilities per se. It's because they honestly don't give a care. I clean that up for you. They just don't care. They're just too involved in their mundane everyday life to care about what's going on. It's not that they're stupid. They just don't get it. But when I'm talking to stupid people, I want to be them. I want to be that. I want your life. I want to know nothing. I want some doctor to take a gigantic syringe and suck the stuff out of my brain. Just suck out the bad stuff. Feed the bad stuff to starving people somewhere else. I don't want the bad stuff in my... Get rid of the bad stuff. About 15 years ago, well before you were born, I used to go to a Reiki person. Now, this is not somebody that landscaped and raked the leaves in the fall. That's not what this is. This was a young lady, quite an attractive one, I may say. And in the bottom level of her house, she had a Reiki practice. Ron, I don't even know what this is. I'm vapid. I'm stupid. I don't know what you're talking about. Reiki is a spiritual kind of thing where you lay on a table and this person who performs the Reiki takes their hands and they hover over you. And with their powers, I don't know, they're able to draw the negativity out of your body. And then she tosses it toward the wall and shakes her hands. The wall must be full of negativity because she's always tossing negativity toward the wall. But the thing is that she's sucking the negativity out of my body. And then she cleanses me by, not with a cleanse, not with a colonic. She cleanses me by hovering her hands above certain organs and she cleans them up spiritually. Now, I don't know if this is real or not. I know it really cost me $100 for every session. I know that was real. When I left the place, my wallet was that much skinnier, so it was real. Oh, it was real. But I don't know if the spiritual stuff and sucking the negative energy out of me was real or not. But I'll tell you something, and this is the amazing thing about the mind. Are you following me? Are you following me? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Come on, pay attention. I believe that she was sucking negative energy out of my body, then therefore she was sucking negative energy out of my body. It's what I believed she was doing. Maybe she was just an entertainer and a very good performer. But whatever the case may be, or if it actually really works and there are certain points in your body that send chakra waves and all this kind of stuff, I don't know. I really don't know. But when I was finished with the session, which lasted an hour, I would stand up and I would feel totally cleansed and refreshed and positive and ready to challenge the world in a very... There was a smile on my face. And for those of you that don't know me very well, that's not part of my face. Smiling to me is a real effort, because there's so much crap going on in the world and in society that smiling really isn't appropriate at this point. But after these sessions, I would have this gigantic plastered smile on my face. And my friends used to come up to me and say, "Ron, you have a smile on your face. Oh my God. Oh my God. What happened?" I don't know. They sucked the negative energy out. They just sucked it out of me. It's fantastic. I haven't done it for 15 years because at one point I realized I was spending way too much money for something that was questionable. And I can probably do this myself through meditation. I'm not good at meditation because one of my problems, and I guess this is why I entertain and do radio and TV and stuff, is because my mind never stops. It's just I don't verbalize it unless there's a microphone in front of my face, but my mind's always going. So I've tried to meditate before, but I can't slow my mind down. My mind knows that I'm doing this to meditate, and every little sound around me, it just doesn't work. So I went to this lady, and it was kind of like induced meditation is what it was. She played this music in the background, Enya. Do you know Enya? I mean, not personally, but she's a Celtic performer, not the Boston Celtics. She's from that British Isles thing. And the music is very, very soothing, and it really does relax you. Try it sometime. I mean, whatever. I really don't care what you do, to be honest with you. That's not my deal. Anyway, we have a great show today. There's going to be an event taking place tomorrow in Massachusetts in the town of Peabody. I know it looks like it's pronounced Peabody, because when I was younger, I used to watch Peabody and Sherman, which was a cartoon. So I always knew it as Peabody. But in Massachusetts, they pronounce everything incorrectly. So it's Peabody. I don't know why. Anyway, that's where the North Shore Mall is. And this fantastic author of children's books is appearing there. She will sign the book with a personal message. It's really fascinating. And if the kids are not in school, take them up there. But go yourself and get the book autographed by the author. She's a fascinating woman. We're going to speak to her a little bit later on in the program, and then you can actually meet her if you live in the New England area. It's worth the trip. And we'll tell you about the website where you can find out other places that she may be appearing or how to contact her. Maybe she'll sign a book, like if you send it in the mail. I really don't know. I mean, I'm speculating. I really don't know. Anyway, you're wonderful people, and that's all I really care to say at this time.
To create each episode of the Ron Van Dam Show, Ron wakes up early, heads into the studio, discusses the important issues of the day, interviews fascinating guests, then finishes his show and gets up and puts on some clothes. Try getting that image out of your head for the rest of the day, suckers! You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Thank you very much. That is something that is hard to get out of your head. I was watching a television show last night about the Bermuda Triangle. And that's the place where ships and airplanes apparently disappear because of some anomaly that takes place in this area of the ocean just off of Miami Beach. And boats just disappear right in front of your eyes. It's like a magic act. And planes that fly through this area over the Atlantic, they just disappear. Look, there's an airplane. Where'd it go? I don't know if it's the same for if you're swimming. Bob, don't go out too far off of Miami Beach. That's where the Bermuda Triangle starts, right there. If you swim in there, you will disappear. Where do these people go? Is there, some people thought it was a black hole where airplanes and boats and people are sucked into another dimension. I don't know where this other dimension is, but it's intriguing. And they never seem to come back. And there have been many theories about the Bermuda Triangle, as they explained on this television show. It could be an extreme storm area. There could be some magnetic forces that take place where it causes the loss of navigation equipment, etc., so that boats and planes get lost and are sucked into the vortex like a gigantic colonoscopy. I don't know what happens. And then they have these Bermuda Triangle investigators who actually fly into the Bermuda Triangle to figure out what's happening. Nothing ever happens to them. For some reason, if you're investigating something, you're good. If you're a victim, you're not good. It's the same with anything. Do you believe in flying saucers and UFOs? I believe anything's possible, except turning water into wine. I'm not sure. Burning bushes that talk to you and tell you how to conduct your life. I have never really been told how to conduct my life by a burning bush. I guess it could happen, but I don't think so. Those things I'm not too, you know. Yeah. And this Noah's Ark thing. Wow. Gather two of every animal? How the hell are you going to do that? I mean, Noah didn't even have any vehicles or amphibious methods to pick up all these animals. How do you find two of everything? Except for rats. There's a lot of those. I mean, how can you even limit that to two? But two of every single animal? That's asking a lot. That's a full-time job. But I guess if you're being told that this gigantic flood is coming, and to build a large boat and to put two of every animal on the boat, I suppose it's so they can have sex together. I don't think the instructions were get two animals of every type, make sure it's a male and a female. I don't really get it, to be honest. And who told him this? Where did this come out of? Was it a burning bush? Did it come out of a rock? Not Iraq, the country, a rock sitting in the desert. Really? And can you really part the Red Sea? I have trouble some mornings parting my hair. I do. Takes me quite a few tries. Much less a sea? I'm not sure about that. I question these things. But anything's possible, I suppose. That's what miracles are. But we've kind of lost track of miracles. We don't see people turning water into wine, unless it's like a magic act on a stage, you know, unless it's Penn and Teller. But otherwise, you don't see that a lot. You don't see miracles. We use the term a miracle in a very pedestrian manner. Yeah, Bob went out last night on a date with Susan. Really? I never thought the two of them would get together. Yeah, they went out to a Mexican restaurant. And I guess things really are working out, and now they're dating. That's a miracle. See, that's not a miracle. It really isn't, you know. It's not a miracle. Bob and Susan getting together. Your bar is like so low, it's not funny. That's your miracle threshold? Bob and Susan are dating now? That's a miracle. What? No, it's not. My car broke down yesterday, and I called AAA, and they showed up within 10 minutes. 10 minutes? That's a miracle! No, it's not a miracle, actually. The tow truck wasn't far away, and they had nothing else to do that particular hour, so they showed up. Not a miracle. Now, if the tow truck driver showed up and walked out with a bottle of wine and said, guess what, an hour ago, this was a bottle of water, that could be a miracle, although I really wouldn't buy it per se. I wouldn't believe them. So our definition of miracles are totally, totally, totally different. Totally. Totally. Our guest is going to join us. She's fascinating. She has written a series of children's books. She's quite celebrated. She's on bestseller lists all over the world, and she is. You can meet her tomorrow in Massachusetts if you live nearby. So that's the deal, and we're going to meet her and talk to her right after these words. So don't go anywhere, please. Just stay right here. I'm watching you. Don't go anywhere.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Karen Gross joins us now. She's the author of Lady Lucy's Quest and Lady Lucy's Laugh Giraffe Journey. And there's a special event taking place tomorrow. We'll talk about it in just a second. We've spoken to Karen before. She's a former senior policy advisor at the U.S. Department of Education. Very interesting background that you have yourself there, Karen. how did you get involved in writing these books, these series?
So the honest answer is that when I was a college president, I appreciated how much you could help students. But if you really want to make a difference in education, you should start early and often.
Yeah.
Kind of like the joke about voting in Chicago.
Okay.
And so I decided to write a series of books for children.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing part of it is it enables me to get into classrooms and libraries and bookstores to share ideas and creativity and learning with kids.
Now, this particular book, we're talking about a giraffe. Is there some great affinity that you have toward giraffes?
Well, actually, giraffes are amazing creatures. They're very funny. And they also are going extinct.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you could write a book that both had humor in it, but where a portion of the proceeds went to save giraffes, seemed like a really good combination. And Lady Lucy has an imagination too, and she'd never seen a giraffe, so part of the issue was, could she ever find one of these amazing creatures?
Everybody loves giraffes, so it's kind of a focus point for a common love that we all have. Now, Lady Lucy herself is, it's not completely fictional, I understand?
That's accurate. The story, Lady Lucy's Quest, is about a young girl who wants to become a knight.
Yep.
And she's told, no, girls can't be knights. And she says, oh, I think girls can be knights. And she goes off and becomes a knight. And it's based on a real woman named Lady Lucy. Lady Lucy Duff Gordon, who actually survived the Titanic, who was, in her day, a remarkable fashion designer. And she never got the credit she deserved, even though she tried, for the amazing creation she made. And she was the subject of a big lawsuit, and she was the first person to advertise in a Sears Roebuck catalog. Mm. And I thought, wait, history has passed this woman by.
Yeah.
Let's create a story that shows something about the power of the possible.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, the book itself, it's a beautiful book, by the way. It's really nicely crafted. And I understand that the illustrations are quite special also.
Yes. The illustrations for all my children's books, other than the giraffe book, are being done by two students whom I knew as high school students. Uh-huh. And so in the book you have, Lady Lucy's Quest, it was done by two high school students, and they've continued to illustrate all of my books. And Jasmine and Soy are really remarkably talented young women. And so, in a sense, the book is a collaboration between, that ran both ways. The teacher was the learner, and the learner was the teacher.
Interesting. Your book is kind of like a, like a dish that was, the ingredients are from very interesting places, and you've put them all in a bowl, and you came up with this book.
Well, I refer, that's a very nice compliment. Thank you. I refer to the book as a layer cake.
There you go.
That it, you can read the book at many levels. You can read it as a just a wonderful story about a young girl who wants to succeed. You can also read it at a level about the history, the woman who was behind it, and her story and people's struggles to be recognized. But you can also read it for the language and the art that's embedded within it. And you can also learn about medieval times if you want to do that.
Yeah, very cool.
So, can read it at all levels.
Very cool. What is there a range of age that it is intended for?
Well, because of the layer cake and the pot you described.
You're making me hungry.
Mixed, I say the book is perfect for anyone ages 3 to 300.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, 300. I've got some time to read this book then.
I hope you'll read it before.
Come on. Right. I will. I'll read it at 295.
Okay.
All right. That's a fair thing.
Call me after you've read it.
I'll let you know what I thought at that point. Now, for those of you that are interested in meeting Karen and actually, can they get a signed copy of the book?
Yes, is that possible? They can get a signed copy. We'll be at Barnes & Noble. Lady Lucy will be there, too, at Barnes & Noble in Peabody, which is in the Northshire Mall, at 11 tomorrow.
Right.
And anyone who comes can not only get a signed book, but you can get a feather, which is a really significant part of the book, a blue feather. And you can also get your hand stamped. And the only people who get their hand stamped with Lucy are people who've read the book with me. So I hope, for those kids that haven't started school or have started and have Friday off, that they'll come and enjoy and meet an author and laugh and learn and get a feather and a hand stamp. And adults can get both, too.
Oh, nice. You know, it's interesting. For a lot of kids, they've never really met an author. They've read books. They've had books read to them, depending on the age. But that experience is kind of like it's another level, speaking of layer cakes again, for a child to meet the creator of something that they got involved with is kind of like a behind-the-scenes thing. It's good for a child to get that full picture of what they've experienced.
Well, you know, one of the things that I do at readings, and you're absolutely right, is I ask kids, what questions do you have?
Yeah.
And they ask the most amazing questions of an author that you could imagine. And I agree with you that once you meet an author, you look at the book a little differently. So many kids have said to me, are you Lady Lucy? As one of their questions. Some of them have asked where I write. Where do I write? Do I like write at a desk?
I would ask that question.
I actually write standing up on a kitchen counter.
Get out of here. I'm standing up at a kitchen counter.
Right. I never sit.
Wow.
All my writing, and I've written some really long adult books, have been done standing at a kitchen counter.
Isn't that something? Interesting. Wow. I guess it does it give you more of a... I can see that as being as movement. So does that help you?
Yes, absolutely. So you have to write where creativity flows.
Yeah.
And for me, sitting in a chair is kind of like passive.
Yeah.
So I like to get up, nice. I move, I can reach to left, the right, I can pace back and forth.
Huh. Interesting also that psychologically you created a layer cake in the kitchen. Ooh.
Yes.
Wow.
Ooh. Oh. Ooh. Now you're the first person to pick that up. That's really good.
It's because I'm into food.
Okay. Well, the book is delicious.
Well, I will need it, but it can be consumed in a sense, yes. It's Lady Lucy's Quest. And Lady Lucy's Laughter Raft Journey, but you can speak to her about all of these creations. That's tomorrow on Friday, and that's at the Peabody Barnes & Noble at the North Shore Mall. Not too far from Boston, I'd say it's probably, 20 miles, maybe not too bad of a trip, maybe a half-hour trip, not a big deal. So,
and not too far from the North Shore either.
Absolutely, so. Yeah.
You know, lots of people can go, and I hope kids can come with questions that they'd like to ask an author, and I will happily answer any and all questions. I always add within the realm of decency.
Well, certainly, because some of those children, they can ask some very indecent questions.
Or the adults, too, you know.
Karen, is there a website that we can visit?
There is. There's a website that covers all the children's books that I've written, and it's www.LadyLucy'sQuest, without an apostrophe, LadyLucy'sQuest.com.
Perfect.
And Barnes & Noble will have the books there so they can be purchased and signed and shared and even personalized. I'm happy to write personal messages in the books if, you know, with a child's name in it, or if it's a special occasion, or if they want something special for a grandchild or something. I'm delighted to do that.
Excellent. That's tomorrow. If you're in the Boston area, what a perfect thing to do on Friday. And that's at 11 a.m. Make sure you get there on time and do some shopping. What the heck? Karen, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. I'm sure we'll be doing it in the future, and congratulations to you.
Thank you. Nice to speak with you again,
you too.
And look forward to seeing people tomorrow.
Excellent. Okay, you take care.
Okay, you too. Right, thank you.
Well, there you go. Hope you take advantage of that. I will be back tomorrow with a brand new show right here. I hope you join me then. Any time of day, it's always there for you. Even if the show is like 2 years old, it's still there on this place somehow. That's a miracle. I find that to be a miracle, to be honest with you. Have yourself a wonderful day. Stay vapid. And I wish you peace. I thought that was humorous.